My pleasure to introduce Shane Brady. He serves as partnership coordinator for Land Between the Lakes. In that position, he coordinates opportunities between lots of different partners with Land Between the Lakes, various stakeholders, government organizations, nonprofits, the tribal. We have a tribal connection through LBL and Between the Rivers Incorporated. That'd be the former residence of LBL. Prior to that, he worked for U.S. Corps of Engineers, and that's where I first met him. When I was doing my tour of duty in Frankfort for the parks, I get a letter from the Corps of Engineers. We had cut down some of their trees, and the letter, the way I remember it, it said possible punishment was life imprisonment in Siberia, $50 million fine, the pleasure of being waterboarded once per week. We love you, Corps of Engineers. So I guess we better get down and figure out what's happening. So we were putting in Bermuda greens at Mineral Mound, and Bermuda greens are much better for heat. They take a lot less water, but you can't have shade. You have to clear the shade. So my illustrious boys cuts the trees down around one of the holes, and that creek is controlled by the Corps of Engineers. So I get this letter that I'm going to freaking Siberia because they cut down all these trees on the Corps of Engineers. So we go down, we have a meeting. Shane's there, first time I met him. And I'm exaggerating the punishment a little, but anyway, it was a great meeting. I was kind of a little nervous about it. And I think we ended up planting trees back, and we actually planted like 100 more trees that were of good oak trees and so forth. So we got it resolved, and we always commented how good you and your guys were after we had committed that terrible sin of cutting down some trees on the forest, on the Corps of Engineers. He attended Southern Illinois University, has a bachelor's, master's degree there. He's a veteran of U.S. Army. He's an 101st Airborne, a squad leader, infantry squad leader in Iraq and both Afghanistan. Those are pretty tough jobs. He loves sharing his passion and for natural resource management and partnerships. And I will say this real quick about him and the team that's over there now. I've been battling with the management of a lot of us, Forest Service and TVA, for 60 years, never-ending battle to make them do right. And this team that's there now, Jim McCoy, who's been here several times, and Shane and the other folks are the best team that we've seen over there in the history of Land Between the Lakes. Common sense is back. Heritage preservation is back. There's no crazy stuff that somebody dreams up from New Mexico to do over there. So he does a good job, and we appreciate it, Shane. So, Shane Brady.
Thank you, Donnie, and thank you all for having me today to talk about some workforce development opportunities at Land Between the Lakes. And so give me a second just to fire this thing up. And I will say I've learned a lot since my time at the Corps of Engineers and writing letters to people that they're going to Siberian prison and all that kind of stuff. I'm glad I don't have to do it anymore, to be honest. Let's see if this will work. Oh, boy. Okay, so you'll have to forgive me. It's going to be in this format here because I tried to put it on PowerPoint and it just wasn't working right. So before we dive into this, thanks again for having me. This is a topic that is really near and dear to my heart, workforce development, putting folks to work, and specifically with the Forest Service at Land Between the Lakes. And it's important to me for a few different reasons. Number one, we want to be good neighbors. And like Donnie said, I don't think the Forest Service has always been a good neighbor to the surrounding counties. And I don't think TVA was a very good neighbor to the surrounding counties, at least from what I hear. I mean, I've only been there for about 3 years now, but I hear some horror stories. So we're in a place now where we're trying to do more community outreach, youth engagement than we've done in the past. So that's the first reason. And the second reason is really a little bit more selfish on my part. I want young folks to be interested in natural resource management, to be interested in going to work for the Forest Service, the Park Service, Bureau of Land Management, anyone that furthers the mission of natural resource management and keeping public lands the way that they are. And the third one is, it's just really near and dear to my heart. I mean, I've had the opportunity to work with the Colorado Outward Bound School, if any of y'all know anything about Outward Bound, taking groups of, you know, 12-year-olds to 18-year-olds up into the mountains for 2-3 weeks at a time, teaching them how to rock climb, teaching them how to mountaineer. And I've seen just how impactful those experiences can be on young folks when they're getting the mentorship that they really crave. And so we're not going to be taking kids rock climbing and mountaineering at Land Between the Lakes, but we do have the opportunity to mentor them and do some good and hopefully put them on a career path. So we talked about that. We've got a few different ways that we engage young folks at Land Between the Lakes and really across the Forest Service. And the first one is Youth Conservation Corps. Has anybody heard about that in here? YCC programs. So both the YCC and the Public Land Corps, the PLC, are modeled after the traditional civilian conservation corps, right? So World War II veterans came back. There wasn't enough work for them. So the federal government said, you're going to go out and you're going to build all of these things. Well, those programs still exist. I mean, obviously not with World War II veterans, but with young folks who want to get into natural resource management, and in particular, activities like trail building, construction, hazardous fuels reduction, so the fire portion of the Forest Service. That's really where they thrive. And no, like YCC students, 15-year-olds aren't out there with chainsaws and drip torches and doing stuff like that, but they are out there with hand tools and power tools working for all of the different land management agencies. It's been a long time since the Forest Service has had a YCC program, but we just received an additional round of funding through the Regional Trails Program. So it's a federal highways grant that's, well, federal highways money that's given to Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, and they award that money to different entities. So we received about $2 million from them that has to go specifically to trail maintenance and development in Land Between the Lakes. So we're going to put a couple YCC crews together starting next summer. So hopefully we're able to do that made up with young people from the surrounding counties. That's my hope anyway, is that we get enough interest from young folks to be able to make that happen. The Public Land Corps member there, so that's your conservation corps, like Student Conservation Association, Conservation Legacy, but it's also our partner right at LBO, so Friends of Land Between the Lakes. We have an intern and apprentice program that we're going to talk about here in a minute that employs about 20 to 25 young folks every year, right? So our interns, you have to be enrolled in a post-secondary education. So that doesn't necessarily mean a four-year university. It doesn't necessarily mean a two-year university. You could be taking an EMT class, and if you want to intern out at LBL, you can through the Friends Group. And the apprenticeships are for folks that have finished at least their bachelor's degree, and typically a year-long appointment with the Forest Service through the Friends Group. So that's how the Public Land Corps portion works. And I'll also say, and I think it says this elsewhere in the presentation, but this earns merit hiring authority. So folks who complete 640 hours of qualifying service work. So that could be, like I was talking about earlier, doing any type of natural resource management work. Once they complete 640 hours, they get a non-competitive hiring authority for the federal government. So non-competitive doesn't mean a direct hire. What it means is you are now in the same applicant pool as your veterans, as folks who are already in the current federal system. You're no longer competing with the general public. So that's a huge benefit of getting involved in programs like that. So if you all know folks, young people or veterans up to 35 years old, who I don't know who would want to get in with the federal government right now, but if you know folks who want to get into that field, let them know that that's out there, and Land Between the Lakes is a place where they can earn that hiring authority. And then the last one is one I really want to dig into today, and this is something that work-based learning that we just started last year with Lyon County. So they have a co-op program up there just like Trigg County does. So trying to get high school kids engaged out at Land Between the Lakes through that co-op program. And they can also earn hours towards that same non-competitive hiring authority. And my understanding is those co-op positions are typically around 300 hours. So, I mean, they would have to do more in addition to that 300, but that's a good start. And please, y'all, like, if you have questions along the way or comments, just stop me and ask or say what you need to say. I want this to be more of a discussion than me just...
So the co-op kid program, that's, you got one with Lyon County. Did they do that as part of their co-op through the school?
They did.
During the school day?
It is, yep. And we've had a hard time with recruitment. We started it last year and didn't get any takers the first time we offered it. Because Lyon County High School is 45 minutes away from Golden Pond Visitor Center. And a lot of parents aren't comfortable with their kids making that drive every day. We've got two co-op students who will start this fall semester, though. One who's going to work with engineering and one who's going to work at the nature station, Woodlands Nature Station there. So only
is
two.
Is that available for other counties besides Lyon, like Trigg? Do they know about it?
They do, yeah. And so that's Beth actually, I kind of invited myself, but through Beth and Donnie, because it is something that we want to offer to Trigg County High School as well. So, and we'll talk about those positions here in just a minute. So that's probably a little bit hard to read for y'all. This is our internal intern and apprentice program that we offer right now at Land Between the Lakes. And this is an individual working directly with a Forest Service supervisor, but it's through our friends group. So Friends of Land Between the Lakes actually employs our interns and apprentices because we don't have the authority to do that, right? Like the Forest Service can't just go out and hire whoever they want to as the federal government, but we can work with a nonprofit like our friends group to be a workforce development partner with us. So those folks are hired by the friends group. That's who's paying their salary. That's who's holding the workers' comp. These individuals, you know, pay taxes, just a regular worker just like anybody else. But like I mentioned earlier, the internships, so all that someone needs to be doing to qualify is they need to be enrolled in a post-secondary education program. They need to be at least 18 years old. And those internships are typically, you know, 3 to 4 month experiences, typically summer college interns is what we get most of the time, right? Folks that are just between semesters and want to come out there, get a little bit of experience. The apprenticeships, like I said, they have to have 4 years of college completed. And those are typically one-year appointments. Now, folks find jobs, right? Like we say, okay, it's 1 year, but if someone finds a job in 6 months, we're not going to hold them to that 1 year. The benefit to that one is more times than not, those folks accrue those 640 hours in one shot, so they're able to start applying to federal jobs when there's no hiring freeze. You can see the pay on there. It's not great. It's a stipend. The interns make $250 a week, and the apprentices make $300 a week. But there's housing provided for those folks. We have six houses right there behind the forest supervisor's office that folks live in if they want to live there. But if it's folks from Trigg County who want to just commute, they can do that too. We get a ton of Murray State kids there for that program, which we love because a lot of those Murray State kids are also, they grew up in Western Kentucky, and that's what we want, is to be bringing people from Western Kentucky onto the Forest Service.
I did my internship with TBA, LBL.
Okay.
And our pay was $50 a week.
Yeah.
So that was pretty, and plus I was having to pay to get credit for the internship. I had to pay like 3 hours I went to school at EKU.
Mm-hmm.
So I lost money by working there for like 6 weeks during the summer.
Yeah.
So $250 would be a lot better than
that. Yeah.
And I did commute. I lived here in Katy's and commuted every day.
Did it open any doors for you, or what did you end up doing after that?
I became a hose driver.
Okay.
But my degree is in safety engineering, so I've worked in the safety department.
Okay.
And then actually got to do some stuff down in Muscle. Of course, this was TBA. They sent me to Muscle Shoals to their fertilizer facilities and stuff down there. So it was a good experience. So
good. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this program that we have been using the Friends Group for has been around, well, I mean, I don't know what year you did it with TVA, but
probably
yeah.
It was probably around 90, probably yeah. Around 90. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, from what I've seen in my short time with the Forest Service, it is the only one like it to where there's a Friends Group managing that. Usually you would have to go to like a big workforce development partner, like Student Conservation Association. They do all your recruitment for you. You know, you help in the selection process, but everything is handled from an organization that's based in California, right? We're wanting to bring in local folks to work at Land Between the Lakes using the Friends Group, and it's been working so far. Ton of people in our leadership team started off there as intern and apprentices, and now they're, you know, GS-13s and 14s. So they were able to stick it out through all the different management changes. And you can see there on the bottom the different program areas. So all kinds of different program areas. People think about, you know, land management agencies, and they immediately think about wildlife biologists, range technicians, recreation technicians, things like that. We offer internships and apprenticeships in every single thing that we do over there. If someone's going to school for business or archaeology, we have positions for them. Communications, public affairs. So please, if you talk to young folks that are looking for something and it's not within your traditional natural resources vein, let them know that LBL is still an option to get that experience. This is just a little bit of data here. So the southern region, this is from last year, is made up of 13 states, 12 national forests. So as a region, we actually have the highest workforce development participation of any region in the United States Forest Service. So you can see here that we employed 1,377 workforce participants, so interns and apprentice type positions, for almost 300,000 hours of work. And LBL was really just a small portion of that. So we employed 24 workforce development participants for 15,000 hours. But I would venture to say that those 24 folks got a more meaningful experience at LBL than probably any of the folks throughout the rest of the Forest Service, just because of the day in and day out activity they had working directly with the Forest Service. A lot of these workforce development participants, they go as a crew, you know, five or six people. They have a crew leader. The Forest Service person says, hey, I need y'all to go clear dog slaughter trail. And that's what they work on for a week. Our folks are out there working with these interns and apprentices every day. So this is really what I wanted to come and talk to you all about today, other than the intern and apprentice opportunities, but this is relatively new. So this is the work-based learning program that we just started with Lyon County and what I would like Trigg County to be involved in. So a few different positions we're offering through it, non-paid internships, and I tried to model this after the Kentucky work-based learning program. So the non-paid internships, if folks just want to come out and they want to work with the Forest Service, but they don't want to commit to doing that 300 hours, they can come out and work with us. We don't have the money to pay them for that, but they can sure come out and help out however they can help out. The co-op position is more of a formal experience, so that's a minimum of 300 hours so they can get that credit through school. And they do get paid. They get paid $10 an hour, and that's through our friends group. So they will get taxes taken out. They're covered by workers' comp, all that. And I'll tell you, we've got two positions right now that we can offer to Trigg County that we have funding for. So I need to work a little bit more with, I don't remember the gentleman's name at the high school who I've talked to about this. It was right before the summer, so we only talked about it a couple times, but he seemed really interested.
Aaron,
what was that?
Aaron Eagleson, maybe?
That sounds familiar.
I don't know. They've got a new ag person there, too, but I don't know if that would be ag or if that would just be the career guy.
It was just the career guy, yeah. And then Beth knew his name right off of the bat. So, do you have a question, sir?
Yeah, I do. I volunteer, and I have not seen very much coming across. Volunteered. I know they've had trouble with their coordinators changing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen anything coming across where they're wanting for help.
Right.
So I don't know if they're not doing anything or I don't know.
Well, I don't think that they're not doing anything. I think that the sharing of information could probably be better than what it is. And I'm not. This isn't a political statement at all, but like we don't have the ability right now to post things on social media, which is a huge outlet for how we share volunteer opportunities. So that's part of the information not being disseminated. So, yeah.
So what would you do? Would you call someone to see if they need help?
I think it depends on what the help is, right? Like if it's project specific. Yeah. Are you on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay. The Friends of Land Between the Lakes still does their social media posting, and if there's any volunteer opportunities, that's where they'd be putting it. So, but I will let them know. So you got the internship, the co-op position, and then job shadowing. This is something like, I don't know if the Forest Service has really made it known in the past, but like we want students to come out and just learn about the Forest Service and learn about the different positions that we have at Land Between the Lakes and learn about Land Between the Lakes in general, right? And so if students are wanting to come out and just work with a Forest Service person for a couple days, a couple weeks, we want to provide that opportunity for them. So no time commitment, but they can just get a hold of us and let us know they're interested in job shadowing, come out and see what it's all about. So right now, the program areas that we're, oh goodness, what has happened? The program areas that we're offering, at least the co-op positions in, is this communications and public affairs, business operations, recreation and trails, engineering, the Woodlands Nature Station, and then this last one here, this joint resource assistant. So that's, if say it's 300 hours, they'd be working 100 hours with trails, like with the recreation folks, 100 hours with our fire folks, and 100 hours with our heritage folks. So more of a comprehensive experience out there for students that want to touch multiple different program areas. So those are the options. right now. And then I've got some handouts for y'all that talk about, it's just a breakdown of kind of what kids can expect if they choose to go this route. And that's really the end of it. I'll just wrap up with, you know, the Rotary Club is one of the first entities that I thought about whenever I started talking to Trigg County about this opportunity. And that's because you all are so involved with the community, so civic-minded, that I thought maybe you could help with a couple things. And one is just putting the word out there. And two, I'm from the federal government. I can't ask for money. I can't lobby. And I'm not asking for money right now. But what I'm asking for is if you know students who want to be involved in this and it exceeds the amount of funding that the Forest Service can put towards it, that maybe you can look for scholarships, grant opportunities, things like that to be able to help folks get this experience. Because, and this is, again, not political at all, but if you follow the news, you know that federal government budgets are getting slashed. And so that's, LBL is not exempt from that. So what we looked like 2 years ago or last year is not what we're going to look like this year. So, I mean, we only have a small portion of funding to be able to put towards these programs. And that's, at least for the co-op position, that's four positions, two with Lion and two with Trigg if we can get students.
Question. With from, if you read the news, the slashing of the budgets, and then there's a big push apparently to sell some federal lands, that I saw it this morning that they were speculating that Trump was going to sell up to 30% of federal lands. Do you anticipate any of the lands within LBL being involved with any of those transactions?
I can't speak to that at all. I mean, I've read the same news as you, and I think 300 million acres is the last figure I saw. And I did see a map that showed those federal lands that are proposed to be sold, and land between the lakes was not on there.
It's a little bit, just a piece of that. The big rub's going to be on timber cut. We just got the proposed legislation that is going to sort of force, we don't know the impact on LBL, but massive increases in timber cutting. Now, the reason we'll have an issue with that is that in LBL, I'll live through it, if you own land, TVA refused to pay you for your timber. They stole your land, some minimal cost. If you had timber, you'd say, well, what about my timber? We don't pay for timber. Well, I'll cut my timber. If you cut your timber, we're going to deduct that from your minuscule payment anyway. So the TVA never paid for timber. But theoretically, the millions of dollars worth of timber has been cut over there by TVA. It should come back to the former residents, theoretically. Yeah. So the two points that we try to make on that front is, number one, there will be an assault on the LBL. We don't know the size of it. Timber. Two points is, you never paid for it anyway. So you need to give us the money, whatever you get out of it. Secondly, the TVA, as they were going down the tubes, remember Kenneth Averitt, I like Kenneth Averitt, had a sawmill at Canton. He had a sawmill at Lake City. He had a sawmill down in Tennessee. All they did for years is cut timber out of LBL. Millions upon millions and millions and millions of dollars of the timber were cut prior to Concept Zero. There was no resistance to that, none. Now, like Iran with their air defenses, there was no defense, just cutting. And so our main points against cutting too much over there, and our recent legislation that we had passed 2 years ago, we offered up 200 acres per year of timber. We found it'd be 1,000 acres over 5 years. Well, a lot of U.S. senators went absolutely crazy. and wouldn't allow those kind of guardrails. So the guardrails that we have to keep this from getting out of control is that at those meetings, the press has to be there. The press or is allowed to be at the meetings, the LBL advisory board meetings. Historically, the press wasn't allowed to be there. So all timber cutting practices have to be discussed, will be, the word is will, be discussed with this advisory board in advance, and we hopefully will have the press. I know Ed comes to most of those, for example. So the only guardrail is that when the board raises cane, you can make it to the press. Well, there are some other plans. There are certain types of timber that can be cut that won't be harmful. That's the storm that's coming. Probably not selling land back, but timber cutting is going to get to be an issue again, yet again.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands of acres were cut in the TVA when they were burning alive. There's a lot of people, millionaires around here in the timber business, just on LBL timber.
Yeah, the executive order I saw states a 25% increase in timber production for the Forest Service. And I mean, that is the new administration's priority right now. I just don't know how that affects land between the lakes. You know, it's easy for forests like the Wachita National Forest in Arkansas, right? The biggest pine producer in the United States, all right? So if they're cutting 1 million board feet per year, well, just multiply that by 25% and that's it. But what it means for land between the lakes, who hasn't cut timber in a number of years, I have no idea. So
if this program takes off for, say, Trigg and Lyon County, I would assume it maybe gets offered like Stewart County. Marshall County, is this something you try to reach out to every county that's within the LBL
purview? So Trigg is the second one right now. And the reason for that is, one, because lack of funding, right? We only have so much money that we can put towards it. And two is the proximity of Trigg. We started with Lyon only because the Federal Advisory Board, one of the members is a teacher up there, Abigail Smith, and it was her idea to plug us in up there. So that's why we started where we did. But it's something that I'm hoping, if we can get enough interest, that we can start this fall semester with a couple students and work them in.
Okay.